What a joy it has been already to be a part of this great congregation. Some places that we go and I'm involved in a meeting, by the end of Sunday afternoon, I'm dreading the rest of the week. That's not true. You have got a great church, great eldership, good preacher, a lot of young people. I believe there are probably more children here than any place that I have been in, far as your attendance. Now, that doesn't mean we've got any old folks here. We're all young, but we've got some younger people here. And I'm amazed at how many children you have. You've got a great future. I'm serious. This is so important to mold the minds and the lives of these young people. I was in West Virginia about 3 years ago. I had been on GBN TV the week before, and a lady came up to me when I got there. She said, "Are you the same Jack Honeycutt on GBN?" And I said, "I hope there's only one of me." And she said, "Well, you look younger on TV." I said, "You ought to see me on the radio. I look real young." It's amazing what some folks can say to you. I was in India one time. I was preaching, and the stage was probably a little bit higher. My first 60,000 people out there. And I was standing on the stage, and I was preaching, washing away a handkerchief in one hand because it was 95 degrees. Folks everywhere, they were sitting on rice straw. I mean, you wouldn't believe the dust. And so I'm coughing, I'm sneezing, and I'm preaching. I fell off the stage. Fell almost in this lady's lap, and I was so embarrassed, and I had one of these goes on, so I just get back up, and I ease back up. And Brother Ratnam came to me afterward. He said, "Brother, is that part of your preaching?" I said, "No, that was not part of my preaching, and so maybe I won't fall off the stage." If you had seen me 20 years ago preaching, I never stood still. I have stood so still more today than I've ever stood still. I don't know if I'm getting old or I'm being more diplomatic or professional or whatever. It's not about me. It's about the Word of God. And folks, I want to beg and I want to plead to you, that ask you to invite as many as you can to this meeting. Tomorrow evening, I'm going to look at subjects. Can I really know that I'm saved? Can I really know? And we're going to do a case study about four different groups of people and see if indeed, even members of this church sometimes, they don't know whether they're saved or not. They're hoping they're saved. They don't really know. Well, we're going to look at what the Bible says about that. On Tuesday night, I'm going to do a lesson, and I promise you I'm going to do it in kindness and love. I'm going to look at, and I identify the church of the Bible. Does it exist today? And on Wednesday night, I'm going to look at some hard sayings of the Bible. Hard sayings. On Thursday night, we will end in this, Lord willing, with the idea of what's the real truth about grace? What does the Bible really say about grace? Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses. And while you're turning to the book of Galatians, I want you to notice that in the book of Galatians, it is such an interesting book. As a matter of fact, in the original Greek, the Koine Greek, did you know that it only contains 400 words in the Greek of the book of Galatians? It's a very small book. We would say a little pamphlet. One of Brad Harab's book, or perhaps Kyle Butt's book, or House to House, Heart to Heart, would be larger than the book of Galatians. Only 24 words, but man, talking about powerful. As a matter of fact, let me just give you some words that you will find in the book of Galatians that will help us in our study now. The word liberty is found 11 times in the book of Galatians. The word law, sometimes the law of Christ, sometimes it's the law of Moses. It is found 31 times in the book. The word Christ found 53 times. The word flesh, 18, and the word spirit, 15 times. Now, if you want to check all that out, and if I got one of those wrong, let me know tonight. But that's what I came up with. Now, why did I say that? Because the book of Galatians, the book of Romans, the Hebrews, they're very familiar. Some folks have said that the book of Galatians was just a small maybe just a small little booklet compared to the words that Paul said in the book of Romans. I mean, he goes in detail about the law. In the book of Galatians, you find this idea that we're free from the law. The law of Moses, that we have in Christ. But he brings lesson, or he brings this book to a conclusion by saying this. Finally, my brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and that not in another. For in every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh must of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit must of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing well or well doing. For in due season we shall be faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially of the household of faith. Now, when you look at those 10 verses, I come up with what I call is a good description or a characteristic of a spiritual person. And we looked at this morning in Romans 8, 1. There is a possibility that just because a man has been baptized into Jesus Christ, that man still may not be a spiritual person. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, there is no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So a man can be in Christ and still not walk after the Spirit. That is after the dictates of the mandates of the New Testament. And thus, even though he has been baptized in Jesus Christ, he's a spiritual person. Now, I don't believe in these 10 verses, and we're going to call this an expository lesson, because you're going to be able to see the text at each point as it's revealed in this text. But I don't believe this is an exhaustive list on the spirituality of a man or a person. Number one, I want you to notice in the text, verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you see, a spiritual person seeks to restore a fallen child of God or children of God. I meant to bring some of the debate tapes that B.J. Clark had last year, same denominational preacher that I had 2 years ago, and he debated on the subject, can a man fall from grace? Eternal security. And the very idea that a man can't fall from grace is right against what the scripture here says. He's talking to Christians. He's saying to these Christians, and according to Galatians 1, 1 and 2, he's writing this to the church of Galatia. These people are saved, but yet he said, now, if a man be overtaken in a fault, why, the Bible says, for to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Galatians 5, 4. A man's trying to go back and be justified under Judaism, under the law of Moses. He says, you have fallen from grace. And we don't have time to develop all of that idea. But the phrase is this: a spiritual person is concerned about a fallen Christian. Brethren, I'm telling you right now, if we could get our congregations, get our folks back, our congregations throughout our land, we could double in size. I promise you. You would be surprised at how many brethren have fallen by the wayside. I go to places, and there will be elders, there will be deacons, there will be priests, there will be members of the church that will say something to me like this: I wish I could get my child back. I wish I could get children to be faithful. They've even gone and identified with a denomination, or they're not going anywhere. It really breaks my heart. You know what Paul said? He's a spiritual person. Pray that kind of person. A spiritual person, a Christian, is concerned about a man that is fallen by the wayside. He does all he can. Let me give you some ideas or some suggestions on trying to help a person that has fallen. Number one, don't forget them. Pray for them. But number two, this one I'm going to ask you to do this week. Send them a card. Give them a call. If they're not faithful, they've not been here in a while, call them. And say, hey, we're having a gospel meeting this week. We care about you. We love you. We would love to have you in our attendance. One of the things that we've tried to do at Willette, we have implemented a discipline program several years ago. Seven of our elders actually came forward. They came, all of our eldership came, all the deacons, we have about 13 or 14 deacons, they all stood up, three of us, preachers, we stood up with those men, and they said, you know, we have let some people become unfaithful, and we have just really forgot God about them. We've not gone and done what we really should have done, trying to restore them back to the fold. That just blew my mind. That made me realize that I need to do more in trying to restore the fallen. And by the way, when we did that, our attendance improved in every service. We send cards. We announce their names. Would you pray for them? Would you do all that you can in order to get them back? Now, we'll look at that word restore in verse number one. It really comes from a Greek word that means to set a bone or to mend a net. The same word that's used in Titus 2, verse 1, is to preachers about preaching health or sound doctrine. You set it back. You mend it back. It's setting a bone. It's become a medical term. And literally, it's like just as strong as it was to start with. That's what we're wanting to do with people that have become unfaithful. It's sad to me. Becky and I, we both on a league on Wednesday morning, and one time there was a lady told me several years ago, she said, you know, we go to this community church, large community church in Cookville, and said, our preacher was asking in the congregation, said, how many of you in the Bible class, how many of you used to attend this denomination? And several of them raised their hand. And how many of you to that denomination? They raised their hand. How many? Maybe my wife came, I believe in the 50s. 50 that you identified with the community church. Brethren, Paul says, a spiritual person ought to be come back to the fold of safety. We care about them. We love them. We want them to be. A spiritual person is a person that is guarded against self. Considering self, you know, the deceitful and the seductive with us. He says, considering myself. Brethren, whatever we do, let us not be filled with arrogance. Let us be humble. Sometimes when you hear someone very arrogantly boast, I'm strong, you better look out at that. Don't be tempted. Think about that for a moment. When we look at people holier than that, or that we're more godly than they are, we all talk to Museum for Saints. It's like a hospital for sinners. That's what we are. We're a hospital, and I appreciate the big eyes and little U's. I see a lot of people that care about one another, and I see that across. They care about one another, and they're trying to guard themselves. A good person really concerned about the cares of others. Look at verse 2 of Christ. Did you see that? Did you see what Paul's saying there? Now he says that in victim himself. He says, let each man, in verse 5, bear his own burdens, but he of Christ. What does he mean by that? I like what I read. Baras means a weight or a burden physically. And what we're reminds me of Paul said in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Congregations, as they rally around their members during the time of storm season, trying to help community, and they're trying to help one another. That's exactly what that verse is talking about. At all time, we don't go over and beat on him, tell him, say, man, you ought to be that concern, and we're trying to help him, lift him up, and take a little bit of the weight off. Man, that's practical Christianity. It is easier to stand up here and preach to you. That when the sermon starts back here and goes forward. Brethren, it's applied to all of us. We need a spiritual person. A spiritual person keeps his pride. And look at verse number 3. Verse 3 says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Here is therefore him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Your 5. When you think about this thing of pride, one of the best sermons that earlier on in my Christianity, I went to this place and the fella did an outstanding job preaching. It's hard, he preached good. And I went back the next night and the same preacher, and he portrayed himself to be so arrogant. I don't know how many times in his sermon he used the word I and me. At least, if he told us two times, he told at least 10 times how smart he was. Brethren, there's no such thing with me when it comes to in a brother in Christ. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a Christian. I don't want to elevate my some of the preachers, how they do that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I told son-in-law, he's at the door there, and you stand back there at the back door. I don't care what kind of sermon you preach, from one ear and out the other. Okay? Because folks not going to come back and say, that's a so sorry one I ever heard. But let me, I hope not. Don't do that tonight anyway. But people above the status that should. Pride in check. Sometimes I think that my grandmother said, don't give you pride. I'm better than you are. I'm bigger than you are. I'm smarter than you are. I'm educated more than you are. I've been on more mission trips than you have. I've baptized more people. New Testament Christian, and your son's a New Testament Christian. And brethren, we better make sure that we keep our pride in check. You know, the disciples had a problem with that. You remember in John 13, when they were trying to figure out who the greatest in the kingdom of God? Who would be the greatest? Jesus is going to be the way. And who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus girded himself with a towel. Normally a task that was performed by a slave. He girded because he's teaching them a lesson not on we ought to do that in worship, but he's teaching them a lesson on humility and on servitude. Brethren, we never, ever, ever should forget that. Sin, and that's exactly what he's talking about in these verses. His own work. And then, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in other. Paul is saying, hey, a man ought to examine himself. He ought to take a self-evaluation. He ought to not compare himself to other people. When a person maybe in a congregation, what they do when they compare themselves, they usually compare themselves to the weakest member. You know, I mean, I've seen that problems. And I said, listen, I'm just going to say they are. I know just as much as they do. Put probably as much as I do in the play. A person is honest with himself, a spiritual person. A person that's trying to emulate the life of Christ, Philippians 2:5. He's trying to seek the kingdom. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. That's, what does that kind of person do? He examines himself. I don't examine you. I don't run around and say, okay, I see a flaw in you. And you know, I'm going to fix that flaw. But what about flaws? Now, does that mean that we shouldn't try to help our brethren that perhaps struggling? Well, Galatians 6:1 makes it very clear. We don't have an option. We must do that. If we're spiritual people, we're concerned about those of mankind. But don't ever, maybe you got your own now. Be careful about being so self-judgmental toward others. And I like this idea of a man testing his own work. And that's exactly what Paul is saying to the Galatian brethren. Let every man prove his own work. Every man prove his own work. Why? Because Romans 2 verse 6 said that each one shall give an account according to his deeds. Brethren, when it comes down to it, I'm going to try to influence, I'm trying to teach, but the only one that I can get to heaven or take to heaven through my obedience to the gospel is myself. And so I need to, you ever examine yourself and see, am I growing spiritually? Peter says, 2 Peter 3:8, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Are we studying? Have we gotten to the point we're just kind of stale and we're going through the habit? Sometimes in a singing, I did this at Will Ed's summer series not too long ago. I did one on singing. They asked me to do one on congregation singing. And Brennan, I'm telling you, we got to be careful that our singing just doesn't become comfortable. It doesn't just come from maybe the mind, really from the mind. We just kind of go through the words, but we don't look at the meanings of the word. And I looked at some of the words and songs, and I asked, what are those mean? And a lot of people said, never heard it explained that before. The night of Independence. We sing that song, and we've done it for years and years. We don't have a clue sometimes what it means. You see, we examine ourselves. We examine our worship. We examine our spiritual lives. Not only that, if you'll notice, a spiritual person, he loves and supports truth and takes a stand for the truth. Now, why do I say all of that? Well, I believe what Paul is telling these things, and by the way, Paul had more to say about paying the preacher than anyone else. Go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He's instructing the Christians here, I believe, and that these preachers who taught them, you learn to honor them, to love them, to respect them, and support them financially. Oh, brethren, we got a lot of good works in the church today. It amazes me. Turn the world upside down. I'm telling you, he did what? Could you imagine if he'd had social media? If he had all radio, these things that technology today, that if he'd had that, it would be amazing what he could have done. You know, brethren, we've got so many good things in our brotherhood that can help us to grow. We need to love it. We need to support the truth. This idea of truth, sometimes I'm afraid they don't love the truth. It's all about love. I've gone to places in not too long ago. I do an India presentation there, and they'll let me preach in another state, and folks come up to me and say, like that. He don't preach truth like that. We all hear about love all the time. We don't get to hear things that from music and a lesson on hell from that pulpit in 15 years. I said, shame, support the truth. If it be GBN, if it be Focus Press, if it be World Video Bible, hell, teach and preach the gospel. One of the things that we have done is search for truth, video, word. Searching truth, video, or my wife came. She came with this idea. I think she heard it at PTP. It didn't go over real well. They gave it out anyway. It said, we would like to study the Bible with you. Jack and Betty Honeycutt has our name on it. Now, maybe our email. I don't know. It went right on through it and threw it in the trash can. But what I'm saying is, the only thing that's going to work the truth, that's what a spiritual person does. He loves the truth with all of his heart. Not only that, I'm going to have to hurry or I'm not going to be brutal in a little while. A spirit, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever is in the scripture, even our Lord taught parables about this process of sowing and reaping. Laws of sowing and reaping. Look at the laws of sowing and reaping with Dave Bathsheba, especially teenagers. When you get ready to start dating that you wouldn't want to marry, don't ever date a person that you are already, but don't date them. You surely already know in your mind the kind of person. You know that you want to marry somebody that's going to help you to heaven. You want a godly daddy. You want a godly father. You know that's not the kind of person that's going to fulfill that. You better look out, because this idea of sowing and reaping, and that's what's happened a lot of times in our congregations. They start courting, they marry because of some relationship. Your faith ought to be strong, and you ought to understand that relationship, no person is going to pull me away from God. I'm going to be faithful. Ask Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 about sowing and reaping. For several years, I was a juvenile probation officer in Putnam, Tennessee, and close to 18-year-olds. Most of them would have been locked until they got to be about to raise two of them. And I tell you, it's hard. They're all different. But when I would go into people, 90% of them been on drugs. And you know what's sad about that? About 90% of their children, if they get married, will be on drugs. It's just a perpetual, continuous process to the Spirit. If you're going to be faithful to God and your faith is going to be strong before them, and they're going to see your holiness and your godliness. I tell this not to brag on myself. 15, 14. He played on a Babe Ruth baseball team as long. As he never misses Sunday night, Wednesday night, very religious person too. Okay, but shook hands, no problem. shortstop, and he's the only person plays shortstop. Our other guy is not going to be. You're trying to explain to a 14-15-year-old boy that he's up to bat next, but he's still playing ball. I said, I don't know. I'm not raising him. I'm raising you. Had to make a decision. I'm going to let him miss Wednesday night, or I'm going to let him play ball. See that it's kind of shallow, and that we put other things before. Never could tell the elders. I've been as low as I've ever been in my life as a preacher. I read a story, and then I heard later it was not true. To the graduates, the building was filled to capacity. Winston Churchill goes up to the podium. Good illustration from my sermon tonight, though. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Me, a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge shall give to me in day, I have to go through in this life. Sure, I can hang on to the very end of my life. They'll leave the door and they'll say, I didn't get anything out of it. On enjoying worship, get you a song book out, follow the words, sing from your heart. Followers, stay focused on worship. Never, ever quit. And to all people, especially those of the household of faith. You know, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus went about doing good unto all. That I don't have, maybe even with my own physical family, your brethren. We have a bond that binds. Do good unto all. Badge of Christianity is that behavior is good. If I'm Walmart, if I'm at Kmart. You ever been at Kmart and they used to have a blue light specials? They announced it on the intercom, $3.99, only 10 of them. You better look out, man. Start going in them buggies. They're wanting the deal. They'll run over you. Have you ever noticed when in a car and the way people drive and the way they act? I have seen people that I've been in a car, Christians before, that would almost run over someone or act like they were going to hit us. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Our goal, our life, is about spirituality, not perfection. We're here. We're striving. We'll never get there, but we're striving. There's a difference between being carnal and being spiritual. Even Christians sometimes become very carnal, very worldly, their thinking and their actions and their lives. Look at Galatians chapter 6, and you look at those 10 verses, not an exhaustive list, but I believe it would show us what we're to be, a child of God. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you what it would take to get you to obey the gospel? Maybe everyone here is. If Jesus stood before you this night and told you what you needed to do, read right out of the Bible, what you need to do to be saved, to go to heaven, would it have any bearing on you? But that's what the Lord is doing. He's still speaking to us this word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, must believe the gospel. John 8:24, Jesus said, unless you believe on He, you shall die in your sins. You must repent. Luke 13:3, and again in verse 5, repent. Turn away from sin. By the way, the concept of repentance is the most difficult part of the plan of salvation. Oh, it's not hearing it, not believing it. It's repenting, the change in mind, the will, the action, and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Christ, and be baptized, to have your sins washed away. Not by the water. We're going to go into detail about that later on this week, but it's the blood. The blood saves us when we do what God tells us to do. It's a faith issue. A person wants that, it's a faith issue. If you believe what God says, you believe what the Bible says, you'll do it. If you're struggling, are you spiritual? Or are you carnal? We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We want to help each other get to heaven. We're in a hospital. We have the great position. Would you come right now? Watch together. We stand as we.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.